Let me make sure your head is in.
Okay, Acts chapter 17. Two verses here I just want to grab. Always emphasize this to you. Okay, in Acts chapter 17. By the way, if you're watching this on the DVD or on the internet, I would ask you, we're going to be turning to a lot of scriptures, and I would ask you to please stop and get to the scripture for this reason. Acts chapter 17, verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. So Paul and Silas go to Berea. Verse 11 says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Well, that's interesting. So these Bereans are more noble than the Thessalonians. Why is that? Verse 11, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. So even when Paul himself went to teach to these people in Berea, they searched the scriptures to see whether those things were so that Paul taught them. All right? And then, and only then, once they saw it in scriptures, verse 12, therefore, many of them believe. Do not ever believe anything until you see it in the scripture. Okay? Do not take, you know, I assure you, most of the men that are teaching the word are teaching it to the best of their abilities. They're not intentionally trying to mislead you. But they might be misleading you. Therefore, see it in the scriptures. Okay? See it in the scriptures. Then believe it. Just like these Bereans. And they're called, the Bible calls them, more noble than those in Thessalonica. So if you want to be more noble, do like the Bereans. Alright? Now, that being said, turn to Ezekiel chapter 3. About seven books to the right of Psalms is the book of Ezekiel. In this hour, I want to talk to any one of you that feel led to teach. And I want to talk to any one of you that does teach in any way, form, or fashion, teach. And I want you to think about that because I do believe that includes every single person in here.
Amen.
As well as every single person that may ever watch this recording. So first of all, and definitely, well, it's anybody that feels led to teach the Word of God. But parents, do you not teach your children? Should you not teach your children? Proverbs says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. We absolutely have a responsibility to teach our children. You know, men, are you teaching your family? Women, are you teaching, you know, the children? Just like we're commanded to do in the Bible, okay? So if that's all we do, I say if that's all. Nothing's more important than the family nucleus. I don't want to go here too much right now. But so we all have a teaching role. Some of you may teach a Sunday school class. Great. I don't care if it's 12 and unders, if it's the men's class, if it's the young married wives class, if it's whatever. You're teaching. You're in a place of authority. I want you to watch this passage, Ezekiel chapter 3. It's going to use a term called a watchman. I want you to put yourself in this term of a watchman, in the place of this watchman, especially as it applies to where you teach. Maybe you're teaching your neighbor the scriptures. Praise the Lord if that's what you're doing. We should be. But Ezekiel chapter 3, starting in verse 17, make yourself this watchman. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. By the way, I did before we stop reading for a second. So yeah, we're in the Old Testament. Okay, 2 Timothy 3:16. You don't need to go there if you don't want to, but I just want to read this verse, 3:16 and 17. Paul says, all 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. All Scripture, okay, is for those three reasons. Doctrine, reproof, correction, four reasons, instruction in righteousness. All right? Now, Ezekiel 3. Always take things in context. That's the other thing we always talk about. Who's writing to whom are they writing? So we're going to make an application of this. By the way, I just noticed because there's a certain group of people I want to give, and I know that they use NASB for their study guide. So I don't have that, but I do have ASV on my computer program where I can check the versions. I'm amazed. By the way, ASV uses these and thous. Praise the Lord for that. You know, some people would say, you know, King James, there's just too many these and thous. There's a reason. Okay? You, the word Y-O-U, you could be plural. Is it you plural, everybody in here? Or do I mean you, Mike, you? Okay? Well, if I say thee, it's singular. ASV does that in this passage. That's great. But anyway, so we're making an application of this. You can't take this as written to you. All right? But verse 17, Son of Man, I have made thee, so I'm in Ezekiel 3:17. I have made thee, Son of Man, a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word of my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Wow. You teachers, I hope that scared you. Let's keep reading. Yet if thou warn the wicked, verse 19, yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul, your own soul. Okay, you're not. Let's keep reading again. When a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man and the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned, also thou hast delivered thy soul. Read that again after the study some other time, you that feel called to teach and preach the word of God, and how much more noble a calling. But pastors of churches, associate pastors, teachers of Bible classes, whether that's at a formal church, whether that's at a church which is in someone's home, a Bible class. Again, I don't care if you're teaching 12 and unders, a church of 1,000 people, or 2,100 people, whatever size, a Bible study of three couples together. That applies to you. Applies. It's not literal doctrine for you, okay? The first time I heard that preach was about 25 years ago. I got saved a little over 30 years ago. And I've been teaching the Word, or teaching, I've been studying the Word rightly divided. We're blessed to do some great teachers back then. Amen. We had Brother Jerry Lockhart Sunday night. We had Brother E.C. Moore on Thursday night. We had Brother Dusty Rhodes Sunday afternoons. And we were so blessed. Those men, boy, you talk about men that absolutely understood this word, rightly divided, and taught the word that way. But anyway, I felt called in. There was a class that ran for a week. Brother Jerry Lockhart, before he left to come to Texas, had a building downtown Mobile. He ran a rescue mission. Not a rescue mission. He ran a homeless, not shelter, a place for homeless people to come. And he'd feed them and he'd preach the gospel to them when they came. And we also used that for some Bible studies. But anyway, so one week, Brother E.C. Moore had a class there for a week for men that felt called to teach and preach the Word of God. And by the way, that's where I met a man named Barry Hampton, was at that class, or where I got to know him. And the very first message that Brother Moore taught was this passage that we just read. And he said, if I can scare you out of it, I'm going to. Because if you teach something wrong, whether you know it's wrong or not, You didn't warn somebody, their blood be upon your shoulders. Wow. And he succeeded in scaring me away for 20 years. From being a, quote, formal teacher and preacher, if you will, of the Word of God. He scared me. And that was his intent, and rightly so. Because to get in front of people over whom you have authority, because you're the one standing at the pulpit teaching, you're the one at the head of the dinner table teaching the family, and you teach something wrong, their blood be upon your shoulders. Those are strong words. Take them that way. And especially if you are a formal pastor or associate pastor, and especially if there are 1,000 plus people in the room. That's a lot of people whose blood is on your shoulders. Take heed. But let's look at some passages, because there's great rewards as well. But I just want to make sure that you take heed if there's something doctrinally and you fail to warn the people, and worse yet, you know that what you are teaching and preaching is contrary to sound doctrine. Think about that passage again. Think about that passage again. All right, let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. See, I believe the... And I always say to you, when I believe, and when the Scripture's saying, you know, the Scripture says right here, okay? But I believe that the world is full of people like we're going to read here in Acts chapter 8. People that want to do right. People that want to learn the Word. And for that matter, those of you in big churches, I tell you, I love the fact when these big, huge mega churches really grab hold and emphasize the small group philosophy. You know, a group of 10 people, you know, 10 to 30 people getting together to get in depth, to study the Scriptures in depth. Praise the Lord. That's the way it needs to, it should be. All right? And not that the number is, but people that want to learn in depth, you know, so they want to learn the Bible. What saith the Scripture? There's a lot of people like this man right here in Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 26. Now, I want you to think of yourself as Philip in this passage. Verse 26, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went." Did just what he was supposed to, what the angel of the Lord told him to do. "And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for her to worship." Stop for a second. So this man has great authority. I mean, he's almost like the Treasurer of the United States, Secretary of the Treasury. All right? I mean, if you think about it, he has charge of all the treasury of Ethiopia, a huge country at the time that this is written. So this is a man, and we're not talking about somebody that, you know, if you will allow me to say it, the average Joe. We're talking about a person of great authority. So let's keep reading now. Verse 28, "He was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet." So here's a man of great authority, and he's reading the book of Isaiah. He wants to know the Scriptures. Praise the Lord. Now, if only we had people in Washington more that wanted to learn the Scriptures. And boy, I could really go somewhere. Back to the Scripture here. And he read Isaiah the prophet. "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither." He didn't kind of mosey his way. He had a calling to go teach, and he ran when that angel of the Lord told him what to do. He didn't hesitate. He ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" Watch this next verse. "And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him." That's it today, gang. Just like the people that attend these small groups, because they meet usually during the week, maybe early in the morning, late at night, you know, around their work schedule, so that men and ladies can attend those small groups. But if they're there, it's because they want to, they've said, I want to learn the scriptures. I want to learn what saith the scripture. That's why they're taking additional time to go to these Bible studies. Therefore, the leader of that study needs to go back and read Ezekiel 3, because all this sure applies to you. If you're leading a small group, you're in a position of authority over those people, especially when you're teaching the Word of God. Their blood be upon your shoulders. Puts it in a different perspective, does it not? Well, everybody's pretty quiet right now. All right. Now, everything that we teach, you know, at the end of the day, you know, some people, well, you know, there's this. At the end of the day, there's really only one thing that matters. You know, we ask the question many times, if you died tonight, where would you go and why would you go there? I'm going to 1 Timothy right now. You know, if you died tonight, where would you go and why would you go there? Either a person is saved in the year 2013 or they're not. Because if they leave here today, if they leave this study today, and they get hit by a car right out there and die, there is no tomorrow. There is no additional hour. Either they're saved or they're not right then and there. If they're saved, they go to sleep in the Lord, and they'll be with the Lord forever at their next waking moment. If they're not saved, if they've rejected the love of the truth, if they've heard the gospel of salvation, how that Christ died for their sins, 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4, how that Christ died for their sins, and that He took those sins to hell, and that He was raised again for their justification. If they've heard that gospel clearly preached, and they do not receive the love of that truth, when they hear it, they either accept it and get saved, or they reject it and remain lost. Now the good news is they can get saved at a later time. At any time, they can call upon the name of the Lord to save them. They can quit trying to be good enough and simply trust in that gospel of our salvation. And the moment they do, Ephesians tells us they're saved and they're sealed unto the day of redemption. Okay, but if they reject it and they die having rejected, it's straight to hell. Go directly to hell. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. It's straight to hell. And I'm not here to preach about that today. It's just, here's the thing. When we're preaching and teaching, it should all be for these reasons right here. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 4 is our verse, but I want to grab the last phrase of verse 3. Okay, the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. All of our preaching and teaching should be for those two reasons and those two reasons only.
Amen.
We should be preaching the gospel clearly. Now, while we're here in Timothy, come to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, very key verse here. Verse 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Wow. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Why would you want to do that? Well, hey, we're commanded to, first of all. I mean, you don't want to be ashamed, right? As it says here in 15, the negative, you want to be approved unto God, don't you? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we need to talk about that because, remember, all that matters is what? Either a person is saved or they're not. Well, to get saved today, to believe, we talked about the gospel of Christ earlier, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that He was buried and raised again for our justification. The gospel of Christ. You need to be following the right gospel to get saved. You can't follow the wrong gospel and get saved in the year 2013.
Amen.
Thank you, brother. That's so key, and that's why we make such a big deal out of this verse. All right, now let me try something I'm going to say simple, an example. You see, the way back in early Genesis, there's a guy named Noah. And God the Father preached a gospel for salvation to Noah. You know, many people today say, well, it's the same gospel throughout the Bible. No way. Amen. There's many different gospels for salvation. There's only one gospel for today for salvation. It's called the gospel of Christ, period. And it's so easy. But the gospel to Noah, that God the Father preached, he said, go build an ark and build it this many cubits by that many cubits and go get these animals and put them in there and get your family and put them in there and you and your house, if you will be saved. I said that because in the first hour there's some things about household salvation. But anyway, and that's what he had to do. Guess what? If he didn't follow that gospel, he would have drowned with the other billions of people. He would have perished, if you will, with all the other billions of people on earth that day. If they wanted to be saved, they had to do what God the Father said to do to be saved at that time, which was build the ark and get in it, because here came the water and everyone else perished. All right? So you got to follow the right gospel. That's the key part here. There are many different gospels throughout the Bible. And it's amazing the way the Bible is divided up. Study to show this, you know, rightly dividing the word of truth. We have Genesis through Malachi. It's called the Old Testament. Now, most people don't have a problem breaking Old Testament from New Testament. And yeah, that's doctrine four before. We have the birth of Christ here. And I'll put the crucifixion here. Time period of about 33 years. And we have Matthew. We have Mark. We have Luke. We have John. Covering this 33 years. Now, I want to jump right to the gospel for salvation during this time period, written and agreed upon in all four of these books. But, and here's a warning, there are many people that will use the term of this gospel today, in the year 2013. It's called the gospel of the kingdom. It's what the Lord Jesus Christ himself taught 12 men called the 12 apostles during this time period. And let's go look at some of these now. So come back to Matthew chapter 24. And for those of you that may have a red letter edition, you're going to see we're going to start in the words of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ on earth during his earthly ministry. And he says in verse 14 of chapter 24, Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, he says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." Okay? Now, when he's referring to the end of the tribulation, you can even see that if you read the next 6-7 verses. Verse 21, "For then shall be great tribulation." I mean, there's no question this is the tribulation period, the 7-year period of great tribulation. Of course, that ends with the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to earth. I'm going to put that out here. It is a future event. It's prophesied in Scripture, many, many books. You know, Joel and Isaiah and Daniel and many other of the prophets all prophesied the 70th week of Daniel, the 7-year period of great tribulation. And it ends with the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to earth to set up his 1,000-year reign on earth, as we're told in the book of Revelation. Okay? So that's prophecy. It's all in the future. All of this was prophesied. There were 1,000 prophecies, plus or minus, I'm not making that an exact number, about the birth of the Lord Jesus, where he'd be born, the death, the day he died, the exact day he died was prophesied hundreds and hundreds of years before it happened. And doggone if it didn't happen right to the day that it was prophesied. Oh, just coincidence. Yeah, right. Okay, Matthew 24. The key is this now. During this time period, the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching 12 men the gospel of the kingdom. And he said right there in verse 14, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." Now, just to make sure you see that he's preaching the gospel of the kingdom throughout this, this is the end of the book of Matthew. Let's come back to the beginning of Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people." Okay, the gospel of the kingdom we see once again. Come ahead to chapter 9 of Matthew. Chapter 9 of Matthew, and come down to verse 35. "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." By the way, notice where the gospel of the kingdom is preached. There's healings going on too. But anyway, let's just focus on the fact it is the gospel of the kingdom that's being preached here. Let's just grab it in one other book. So let's go to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, and we'll see right here in verse 14. "Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God." Okay? The gospel of the kingdom again. Gospel of the kingdom. Now let's go back to Matthew 24. What is the gospel of the kingdom? Matthew 24, let's hit verse 14 again where we started. And he says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." Once again, you hear so many people today, "We got to preach the gospel of the kingdom. We're building the kingdom." No, you're not. You can if you wanted to. It's bad doctrine, and stay with me. Okay, if you've watched this far, just wait till a few more minutes here at least. I want to show you by Scripture, though. The key is see it in the Scripture. Be like those Bereans in Acts 17. Okay, if you come this far, praise the Lord for it. Continue and see by Scripture. By the way, if I'm wrong, you, especially some of you that are seeing this, you owe it to me to show me by Scripture. Otherwise, my blood be upon your shoulders. What is the gospel of the kingdom? And this is why we're not building the kingdom today. We are building the church, which is the body of Christ. You get there by believing and trusting in the gospel of Christ for your salvation. Gospel of the kingdom, right here. So verse 14, "And this gospel of the kingdom," well, what is it? Back up to verse 13. "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached." That's your gospel of the kingdom. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and be baptized. It's all part of that is endure to the end. We could go back through the book of Matthew and show over and over again how Christ kept saying, "Endure to the end, endure to the end." Matthew 19, "Good master," the man says to the Lord Jesus Christ on earth, "what good thing must I do to be saved?" And he says, "Keep the law." With the bird, go to Matthew 19, you'll see that. Now I'm going to have to go there. Matthew 19, verse 16. "What shall I do that I may have eternal life?" Do you think the red letters that the Lord Jesus Christ speaks would be important? Absolutely. For that time period. If you live right here during this time period. And he says, and I'm skipping down the end of verse 17, "But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." Well, he didn't really mean that. Verse 18, he goes on and he starts naming off the Ten Commandments. "Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt murder. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother." Sound like the Ten Commandments? It is. "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." The young man said unto him, "All these things have I kept from my youth up, yet what lack I yet?" Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, remember what we read in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, that the man of God may be perfect, right here. If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell what thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. He told him to work. Okay, now, in case we miss it, so those four, the gospel of the kingdom, this time period, it's gospel of the kingdom. Right? He that shall endure to the end shall be saved. Endure to the end? Yeah, the end of the 7-year period of great tribulation. The book of Acts picks up after Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And what do we see in Acts 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7? Every time that Peter preaches and many people believe, praise the Lord, he's getting on with what he's told to do. Let's go to Acts. Let's just go see maybe two or three places where this happens. They know they need to endure to the end, so they sell out and have all things common. See it in Scripture. See it in Scripture. Acts chapter 2. Of course, everybody loves to grab Acts 2:38. You know, when they said, men in 2:37, men and brethren, what shall we do, if you will, to be saved? 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Okay, now, coming ahead, just a few verses. Verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word, when Peter preached, were baptized. And the same day, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Wow, I'd say Peter's getting on with it. 3,000 people believed or baptized, and they're following Peter and the 12. Verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, what Christ taught the apostles in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in the apostles' doctrine, and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And watch verse 44 and 5. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. Okay, you can't miss that. They're having all things common. Why? At the beginning, actually, while we're there in Acts 2, go back to the beginning, not the very beginning, when Peter stands up to preach. So verse 14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, he lifted up his voice, and he said unto them, by the way, who's he talking to? Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. Verse 16, but this, where he is right there, this is that which was this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And he goes on to quote Joel chapter 2, verses 27 to 32. He thinks, what's this, the prophet Joel? It's this, the 7-year period of great tribulation. Peter thinks he's right there in it. That's why they're selling out, having all things common. They think they're in this. The only way they can make it to the end is to sell out, have all things common, and endure to the end. They take the mark of the beast, they're done. They lose their salvation and they cannot get it back. They're doomed for eternity in hell. Alright, so let's keep reading though. Let's come ahead to chapter 5. I'm sorry, Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul, great. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Come down to verse 34. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Hoseas, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. You can't miss what having all things common means. All right, then we're going to get a story there of Ananias and Sapphira. I don't want to go there anymore. Holy smokes. So you get the point.
Yeah, they're doing what Jesus told them to do.
They're doing exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ told them to do. They're preaching exactly in Acts chapter 1 and 7 what the Lord Jesus Christ taught them to do. And to say, and to teach.
So the gospel of the kingdom is repent,
be baptized, and
sell out, have all things in common, and endure to the
and
end.
And endure to the end, absolutely.
So that's obviously different from our gospel.
Yeah, so unless you're in a church, you know, if you think we should be following, if this term, rightly dividing the word of truth, you say that doesn't make sense, I want you to stop and think for right here for a second. If you're in a church that's following, okay, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, and by the way, you got to keep if you're following it, you got to do all of it. You can't just pick and choose which parts of it, because you also got to get the whole gift of the Holy Ghost, and you would also sell out and have all things common. Okay, again, Peter thought he was right here. That's why that was part of the program. They had to endure to the end. And it will be hell on earth. And they cannot make it unless they sell out and have all things common. Have them together. Yes, a commune. Matter of fact, Waco, what they did back there with David Koresh, it's scriptural. It just wasn't dispensational. It's not for today's dispensation. But it's very scriptural. It's exactly what Peter taught them to do, for crying out loud. All right? There's a lot of things going on in the name of religion today that are scriptural, but they're not dispensational. Rightly dividing the word of truth. The whole Bible is for us, but only parts of it are to us. Now, the parts that are to us. After the book of Acts, the next book that shows up in your Bible is the book of Romans. Go there to Romans chapter 1. Watch, and by the way, the next 13 books, Romans to Philemon, are all written by the Apostle Paul. You'll see that in the first verse of every one of those 13 books. Paul, an apostle by Jesus Christ. Okay? Or however he words it in that particular book. But Paul was an apostle of Christ. And all 13 of those books are written by Paul. And I would suggest to you, in rightly dividing, those are the books for us today. The doctrine for today. The Bible says that.
Amen.
Stay with it, though. See it in the Scriptures. Not because Steve said it. You've got to see it in the Scriptures. All right, I ask you to go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, in the very first book that shows up in Scriptures, not the first book that Paul wrote. Galatians is the first book that Paul wrote that became Scripture. He wrote that probably at the end of Acts 16, early Acts 17. Acts chapter 20 is when he writes the book of Romans. But in the very first book, that shows up in your Bible written by Paul, watch what he says, verse 15. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Stop reading for a second. Okay, he's going to preach the gospel. And the key is this, which gospel? Because we have the gospel of the kingdom being preached back here. So is Paul preaching the gospel of the kingdom? Let's keep reading. Next verse. Verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Whoa, right there. That's the gospel he's preaching. It's called the gospel of Christ. Let's read again verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, the gospel of Christ, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. Okay, that's the key right there. Paul preaches a different gospel, and stay with me. It's called the gospel of Christ. Now, we've got some pretty fancy programs out there that are free. I keep one on my phone. I'll even write it down here. It's called eSword, and I don't care which one you use. Use one. There's so many. eSword.net. What is it?
My Sword is another one.
My Sword is another one. Friday night at our study in the Woodlands, there's a guy there that has spent, do you remember how $2,000 and all these, a couple programs, but to download certain versions of the Bible into it, somewhat like NIV, it's $20 or $25. NASB, you've got to pay an additional $20, $25. This one's free, eSword.net. My sword are free. I use eSword. It's got King James. It's got ASV free. Many other versions. I mean, lots and lots of versions. The Douay Rheims for the Catholics, that's free. So I keep them all in there because I want to know what different versions say. That's how I know in preparing for this study, Ezekiel chapter 3, the thys are in there. Meaning singular you. So you know he's talking to that man only.
Amen.
Okay? And so anyway, here's my point of bringing this up. You can do great searches. And like in e-sword.net, I can type in the three words, Gospel of Christ. And you can also do, I mean, any more phrase you want. But set it for phrase, and then hit whole Bible. Because you can say Old Testament, New Testament. Do whole Bible. You're going to see it show up 11 times, Gospel of Christ. And guess what? Would you believe that all 11 of those times are in Romans, the Philemon? It is never once, at any point in your Bible, used before the book of Romans or after the book of Romans. Gospel of Christ. Why? Because it's the gospel of salvation during this time period. And yes, this is a timeline. The year 2013 is in here somewhere.
So are you saying that Paul never told people to forsake their jobs and to not give up?
No, he sure did not. No, he sure did not. Paul never told us to sell out, to have all things common, forsake our jobs. Absolutely not. Things change. That's the key. Now, Gospel of the Kingdom. It shows up four times, and it's all back here. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Gospel of the Kingdom. Do that word search as a phrase, so it's those words in order as they are. Because if you put Gospel of Christ and say, you know, the words of that, I mean, you're going to get lots, hundreds and hundreds of verses that have the word Gospel and Christ and of in the verse. And many will be before, many will be after. So, phrase, Gospel of Christ, those three words in that order. Gospel of the Kingdom. You'll find that four times in the four Gospels. Never before, never after it, never before it. How about that? The Gospel of Christ. Paul says right here in verse in Romans chapter 15 and 16, Romans chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. The first book written by Paul that shows up in your Bible. And he says, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also, Gentiles at Rome, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. But you see, people back here couldn't trust in the gospel of Christ for their salvation. It didn't exist yet.
Amen.
All right? It did not exist yet. It was the gospel of the kingdom, just as the Lord Jesus Christ was teaching these men. Now, I need to go back to Matthew. One other key concept to pick up here in the book of Matthew. You know, people today want to say, well, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ was teaching the multitudes. And that's not true. He was teaching 12 men and 12 men only. He was preparing those men for a ministry in the future. Give me just a second here. Why they spoke in parables? Yes, that's what you're giving me. Thank you. You knew exactly where I was going. Okay. People think that the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching the multitudes in these books, right? No. Watch this now. Again, see it in scriptures. Are the four Gospels not full of parables? And they're... Think about Sunday mornings now. Today is a Sunday all across this country. I guarantee you there's plenty of groups assembled together to study the Word of God, just like that Ethiopian eunuch. They want to know. And the man teaching stands up and grabs a parable and he can tell a great feel-good story, a great motivational talk. But let's see why the Lord Jesus Christ spoke in parables. So, chapter 13 of Matthew. Chapter 13. Okay? So, chapter 13, verse 1. The same day Jesus went out of the house, sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered unto him. Okay? No question, Christ is in front of multitudes. Keep reading. So that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables. Don't miss that. In parables. Saying, behold, a sower went forth. On and on he goes. So he teaches that. Now come to verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Do not miss this answer. Verse 11, he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you, who's the you? You 12, unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables. Because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And it is in them, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. On and on he goes. Now, keep studying that out, and that's true throughout the four Gospels, every parable. You see it time and time again. Verse 24, another parable put he forth unto them, saying. Okay, so he's going to do the same thing again. He does it over and over. Verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said unto them. And so now he explains the parable to the 12. Okay? You can't miss it. And that's consistent throughout the four Gospels. Study it out. Study. I'm running out of time. We go out and look at many of these, and that's a great study in and of itself, is looking at the parables and where Christ said it's not for them to understand. Yeah, the multitudes are there, but that's why he spoke in parables. Maybe. So they wouldn't understand what he's saying. Only the 12 would.
Maybe we can continue that next week.
Maybe we can continue that next week. Okay, great. Because that is, it's a great, great study. I just wanted to show there's differences, and there's reasons for these differences. Because people are misled today. Again, I'm not saying that men in the pulpit are intentionally doing this, but if they're failing to study the Word and rightly dividing the Word of truth, then they might be preaching the wrong doctrine. All that matters at the end of the day, either a man is saved or he's not.
Amen.
We do not know when our last breath is. Last night, the head coach, we always bring football in, right? Last night, the head coach of the Denver Broncos, or yesterday, goes into the hospital. Now he's going to miss the next 2 months coaching because he may have had a heart attack, it looks like. Hey, what if it was a little bit more serious and he died? Either he's saved or he's not at the moment of his death, at the moment of his last breath. If saved, go to sleep in the Lord, and then at the 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 describes the end of this time period when the doctrine for the church, which is the body of Christ, Paul tells us. Romans to Philemon. That could be tonight. It could be 100 years from now, any time in between, maybe longer. We don't know. We have every reason to believe it soon. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Here's the next event in prophecy. And actually, let's go there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. By the way, the last verse in 1 Thessalonians 4, Paul says in verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Well, we're going to learn about the rapture, and Paul says it's to be comforting. So let this comfort you. Because he says in verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, dead in Christ, okay? That's anybody that died roughly AD 70 and after. They're dead in Christ. They're asleep in Christ. They're asleep in Christ because they believe and put their trust in the gospel of Christ that Paul preached in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. They believe that when the Lord Jesus Christ hung on this cross, and they heard the gospel preached, Ephesians 1:13 tells us, okay, the order. You hear the gospel preached, the gospel of your salvation. You believe in your heart that when he hung on that cross, oh yeah, he was shedding his blood to pay the penalty for my sins. And he took those sins to hell. Yeah, the Lord Jesus Christ spent 3 days in hell. But on the third day, God the Father raised him for your justification. So you hear that gospel preached, you believe it, but then there's got to be a moment when you trust in it. Because Satan sure believes that now, looking back on it.
Amen.
Satan thought he won when he put him on that cross and nailed him to the tree. But, so it's not just believing in it. It's when do you stop trying to be good enough. You know, it's good to try to be good, but it won't gain you favor with God the Father. Quit trying to gain your salvation and trust in the gospel of your salvation. And the moment you do, not only are you saved, Ephesians 1:13, but you're also sealed. And Ephesians 4:30 tells you you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Nothing you can do to gain your salvation. Nothing you can do to lose your salvation. Praise the Lord. Why? It's Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The gospel of our salvation. Now, so that's how a person goes into the body of Christ. The moment they're saved and sealed, they're in the body of Christ.
So the apostles, Peter didn't preach that same message?
Did not never preach that. They preached the gospel of the kingdom, endured to the end. Acts 1 through 7 proves that out because they think they're in this 7-year period of great tribulation. That period starts right after the passage we're going to read here. When this event happens, it's the next event in prophecy, then that period of 7-year period of great tribulation happens. Verse 13, but I would not, so again, those which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. Okay, so some of us are still alive when this happens. If it happens tonight, hopefully that's everybody in this room.
Amen.
So middle of verse 15. Alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. He descends from heaven. The Lord himself does. Verse 16. With a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. The dead in Christ rise first. Verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Then we which are alive, and we're walking the earth here, we go up also. We meet them in the clouds. Verse 17. Meet them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen is right. That's the rapture of the church, the calling out of the body of Christ. So I mentioned Barry Hampton at the beginning of this. Barry Hampton's a week younger than I am. Barry Hampton's the reason I'm now teaching the Word of God. 3 years ago, almost at a month, So 20 years ago, and I told you I met Barry, got to know Barry at that 1 week course. Men felt they were called to teach and preach the Word of God. 5 years later, Barry started a church. And for 20 years, he had that church going. And 3 years ago, on Wednesday night, he stood at the pulpit like this and preached, went to sleep that night, forgot to wake up the next morning, died in his sleep. That's the way to go, I think. Or if we're not alive and remain, then if our only other option is to go to sleep in Christ to die, that's the way to go. Die in your sleep. But anyway, he's a week younger than I. 3 years ago. We were 50 or 51 at the time. I don't even remember. He's a week, literally 1 week younger than I am. Anyway, when he dies, okay, I got to get on with teaching the Word. This isn't about me. It's about the Word. So, teaching the Word, rightly divided. So anybody that is saved into the body of Christ, that's our next event right there. Again, this started, Paul was first in here. 1 Timothy 1, verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 1, two books to your right is 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul wrote this book, and he says in verse 15 at the end there, well, verse 15, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." Not good people, sinners. We got to admit we're sinners. And he says, "Of whom I am chief." Why? Because he was murderous and blasphemer. And anyway, verse 16. "Howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe." This is Acts chapter 9. The road to Damascus is when he was first. He's the first one that went into this body of Christ. Know the 12 and the people they preached to. The thousands back here did not go into the body of Christ. They were part of the kingdom. They will go into the kingdom out there. We go to be with the Lord forever, wherever He is. All right? Different gospel here, different gospel from Paul on. In the year 2013, there's only one gospel. It's called the gospel of Christ, as Paul lays out in the book of Romans. Yes, sir.
So different gospels, different inheritances.
That too, different. So the point, different gospels, different inheritances, is correct. You'll see there are three inheritances in your Bible. All back here, they were looking for land. Out here in the thousand-year reign, the Lord Jesus Christ will set up His throne on the king of the land. And the Old Testament saints are resurrected back here. As the book of Revelation will tell you, they're resurrected and they're on the land. The 12, what were they being prepared for? Go back to Matthew chapter 19. Let's look at it real quick. I am trying to wrap up quickly here. But you got to see the words in the Scriptures. Matthew 19, you're going to see the role in the future of the 12. Don't miss this. Again, just read your Bible. It's right here, Matthew 19. Verse 27.
Matthew.
I'll slow down. Matthew 19, verse 27. "Then answered Peter and said unto him," unto Christ, "Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore?" What's our reward? Come on, we gave it all up. We gave up everything. And they did. What's their reward? Verse 28. "And Jesus said unto them," them the 12, not to any of you in a church building today reading this, you've got to take the context. Who is he writing, speaking to? The 12. "And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me," ye 12 again, not ye multitudes, "ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory," right here, that time period, "shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." It's called the heavenly city, New Jerusalem. Okay, it's the second inheritance. It happens at the same time. There's an earthly kingdom. Old Testament saints are resurrected here. Any martyrs for Christ that died during the seven-year trib, they're martyred for Christ's sake. They're resurrected into that heavenly city, New Jerusalem, which comes down from above. These people on earth can see it. Again, another study for another day. All right, but they had to die to go into that city. People on earth at the end of the seven that endure to the end, and they're still alive, they walk into the land. They're in that earthly kingdom. Don't get hung up on which inheritance and all that. The third inheritance is for the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. And at 1 Thessalonians 4, we go to be with the Lord, so shall we ever be with the Lord, forever and eternity, wherever He goes. Amen's right. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Aunt Sally that died 14 years ago, she had a testimony of salvation because there is a day and time when she put her trust in the gospel of Christ, the gospel of her salvation. She was saved and sealed. I don't care if she murdered somebody 3 years later. If she got saved by the gospel of Christ, it's not of works. She can't gain it. She can't lose it. You will see her again at this event. Assuming you have a testimony of salvation by the gospel of Christ. Now, for any of you that hear this, if you're still listening on the internet, now go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Warn every man we started this passage, this study hour with. Warn every man, because if he dies in his unrighteousness, his blood upon your shoulders. If you're teaching. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So, Paul wrote Galatians first, then he wrote 1 Thessalonians, then he writes 2 Thessalonians. Well, in 1 Thessalonians, he told those people, hey, there's going to be a rapture, I'm paraphrasing, there's going to be a rapture in the first, dead in Christ shall rise first, we which are alive and remain shall meet them in the air, meet them in the clouds, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. Men came in afterwards to where Paul was, and they told the Thessalonians, bad doctrine. That's not really going to happen, and this is going to happen, and what about the Old Testament? It talks about the seven-year trib. And so Paul writes back to clarify. And he writes 2 Thessalonians, and watch what he says now in chapter 2. Paul says, I'm going to jump into verse 11. Paul says in verse 11, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth. Wow. God sends them strong delusion, so they'll believe a lie because they receive not the love of the truth. Believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, I started later on. Let me back up here. Verse 12. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth. Well, how in the world would they be damned? It's the end of verse 11. They'll believe a lie. That they should believe a lie. Last phrase in verse 11. Well, why in the world would they believe a lie? Verse 11. Because God shall send them strong delusion. Wow. Well, why would God send them strong delusion? Beginning of verse 11. For this cause. Well, what's the cause? The end of verse 10. Because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. They heard the gospel preached. So teachers and preachers, listen closely. You preach the gospel of Christ. Remember, all that matters, either a man is saved, and I say man, any person. Either they're saved or they're not. You have a chance to preach the gospel. Don't foul it up. Keep the simplicity of the gospel, Paul calls it. Because if they receive not the love of the truth. Now, if you preached it properly, their blood is upon their own shoulders. But if you messed it up, according to what we started in Ezekiel chapter 3, A, if you preached them the wrong gospel, repent and be baptized. If you preached them the gospel of the kingdom, how can they get saved by that? They can't. Their blood be upon your shoulders.
Amen.
That's what the scripture said. If you do preach the gospel of Christ, but you add a few things to it, well, yeah, don't just believe the gospel of Christ, but make sure you get baptized also. That wasn't part of the gospel of Christ. Make sure you speak in tongues also. That wasn't part of the gospel of Christ. And make sure that you repent and believe in the gospel of Christ, and repent of your drinking, your smoking, your dancing, your carrying on. That's not what it said. You're adding to it. And just like in the book of Revelations, do not add to these words. Do not take away from these words. Don't do, that's why Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11, I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. How did he do that in Genesis 3? He took the Word of God and he added one little word here. He subtracted one little word here and he changed a phrase here. That's how he changed the Word of God. I wonder if that's going on today. Okay? Changing the Word of God. And it happens all over the place. our ultimate authority, our final authority is right here in this Bible. Do not add to it. Do not subtract from it. Do not change it. The words say what they mean. They mean what they say. Where they are, as, you know, where they say it, as they say it, to whom they say it. Rightly dividing the word of truth. You've got to find out what words are written to you today in the year 2013. The whole Bible is for inspiration, or is written by inspiration, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Okay? But we got to get the right gospel for salvation. By the way, out here in the 7-year period of Great Tribulation, I can see it now. People that are alive here in hell on earth saying, that guy Paul, boy, he had it right. It's gospel. It's salvation by grace without works. And they're just going to believe in the gospel of Christ, and guess what? It's too late. They won't get saved by it.
Strong delusion.
Strong delusion. They'll believe a lie. So that they might be damned. What, God wants them damned? God doesn't want them damned. God wants 1 Timothy 2:4. Who God our Savior would have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth.
Amen.
The point is, if we reject it, you know, when you hear the gospel preached, you either receive it or reject it. There's no sitting offense of that. To not receive it means you rejected it. And if this event happens, you go into 2 Thessalonians 2. No, God doesn't want you damned. He wants you saved. That's why 2,000 years ago He sent His Son to die on that cross, to die the death that you and I deserve. A horrific death. Mel Gibson nailed it in Passion, the movie The Passion. When you see his flesh rip off when they're whipping him and pieces of flesh go flying, he died a horrific death. And that's how much He loved us. To send His Son to die, that kind of death. Would you send somebody you know to die that kind of death? He loved us that much. He allowed Him to die. Why? Because He knew He had to shed His blood to pay the penalty for our sins. Because we couldn't do that. We could not do that. We've been trying for thousands of years. Moses Moses lost his inheritance. He couldn't go into the land. Even Moses, for crying out loud. Okay, so let's wrap up here. We got to follow the right gospel for our salvation. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. There's so many different passages to grab. But 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. And Paul tells us, 2 Timothy, before we read it, don't read that yet. This is the last book written by Paul. Think about that. The last book that has to do with doctrine for the body of Christ. Now verse 7. Paul says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to whose gospel?
My
gospel. His gospel. Paul's gospel. That's what the words on your Bible, on the page of your Bible say right there. He was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble, even as an evildoer unto the bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. I mean, amen to that. Does it get any better than that? Then a few verses later is 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then he says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Come to the last chapter that Paul wrote. It's chapter 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and dead at His appearing in His kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. You teachers, listen closely. This is you. Whether it's your family, the class of 12 and unders, pastor of a 2,100 person church. Verse 2, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And now watch this. Tell me if these next few verses do not apply to today, and especially the mega churches. I think of one in Houston that has tens of thousands of people there live and hundreds of thousands watching on television. Verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Okay, we just read verses, words on the page. That's not Steve saying, that's words on the page, that's your Bible saying those. And Paul says in the latter days, in the end times, you know, chapter 3, it started out, this know also in the last days perilous times shall come. Chapter 4, verse 3, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. We've talked sound doctrine here today.
Amen.
And the simplicity of Christ. It is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul says exactly right here in 1 Corinthians 11, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. We do not follow Paul the man. We follow the writings of Paul, the doctrine that Paul revealed unto us, the church which is the body of Christ. And the way you get there is getting saved by the gospel of Christ. There is no other salvation but by what Paul taught us in Romans to Philemon. Again, all that matters at the end of the day. But yeah, there's a lot of great stuff to learn in here. Absolutely. A lot of great principles for our lives in here. But if you get hit out there on that street when you leave, either you're saved or you're not, and that determines your eternity. And if you're a teacher and a preacher, and you had a chance and did nothing about it, their blood be upon your shoulders. Is that not what we read in Ezekiel chapter 3?
Amen.
So teachers, take heed. Take heed, whoever it is you're teaching. But praise the Lord that there's a way for them to be with Christ for eternity, and all of us together for eternity. It's by simply getting saved by the gospel of Christ. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay. I appreciate you all being here and letting me rant and rave a little bit about Paul's doctrine.